Well, good evening. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord, and again, good to worship Him and sing of His praises. As I contemplated and thought, where should I preach on Sunday evening? I knew kind of Sunday morning where I wanted to go, and I wasn't quite sure on the evening. My own words echo in my head. There are 66 books, so pick one of them. And I thought about, you know, what would be a good psalm to preach through. I don't preach in the Psalms very often, and primarily because I've preached Psalm 96 one time before, and it was the most horrendous sermon I have ever preached in my life. A woman got saved in it so the Lord can do whatever He wants. But I kind of wanted to redo. I wanted to start over and kind of have a second go at this psalm. And which makes me think about where I preached that psalm. It was at Williamstown Baptist Church in Williamstown, Kentucky. If you've ever heard of the Ark Encounter with Answers in Genesis, that's the town it's in. That's where I served and did youth ministry as a pastoral intern for a couple years. And while we were there, we were in the beginning stages of what we are doing here and getting ready to build a building. I went through the process with them as well, and we saw them build a very nice educational wing and add all kinds of stuff. And you know, when it all came down and was said and done and we were finished, we had this day where we dedicated, and I still have a bookmark from that day. It says, Williamstown Baptist Church, a community of worship, faith, and love, building dedication and celebration, September 28th, 2008. I still have that bookmark and reminds me of that place. It has very dear, fond memories in my heart. But it makes me think about, oftentimes we have dedications and celebrations of buildings or milestones in people's lives. I think back to my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary, and we had a big old celebration of it, right? And we always are looking for ways, I don't know if we're looking for or they just are really there, to celebrate and remember what God has done in our lives. And so as I began studying Psalm 96, I recognized as I was reading things about it that this psalm actually comes out of when the exiles returned from Babylon and they returned to Jerusalem and they rebuilt the temple. And this is a psalm they wrote to celebrate and dedicate the temple back to the Lord. And so that is a beautiful picture of seeing what they say, and we'll get into a whole lot more with it once we get going. But they did that. But not only is it a psalm of dedication for the temple, but it's also a prophecy of Christ to come. And so we'll get more into it. So I ask if you have a Bible that you would turn to Psalm 96. And if you're able to and willing, I'd ask that you'd stand for the reading of God's word. It's 13 verses and it's a tad long, but bear with me. It's worth your time. In verse 1, it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come before You this evening. We ask, Lord, that You be glorified and You be magnified and that we would honor You and worship You in all that we do and say. Father, we're so thankful for this evening that we can gather together, as Shelley said, freely to worship You, Father. I pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who don't have that freedom. May You give them boldness and strength to remain steadfast in Your word. It's in Christ's name and to His glory we pray. Amen. So in Psalm 96, like I said, it has two parts. It's a celebration and a dedication to the temple, but it's also a future look to the prophecy of Christ and what he has done. I'm going to apologize real quick. I almost am losing my voice, and so I'm going to keep drinking water so that way I can keep talking. But in Psalm 96, I'm going to break it up into four sections. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 3, and then 4 through 6, 7 through 9, and 10 through 13. And we'll look at four things, four ways that we can worship the Lord more. So in verses 1 through 3, we see, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples." So I want to kind of say that this point is that we must sing because there is good news. And where we know there is good news is because we find this in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And it reads like this: "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and a priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.'" This word, "and a new song," that we see in verse 9, right in the beginning, is the exact same word in the translation, the Hebrew Bible, which is the Old Testament, translated into Greek. We see the exact same words used there, showing that this is a prophecy of Christ to come and how he is worthy to take the scrolls and to open it. "For he was slain for our salvation." And so we see that it says to sing to the Lord a new song. And this is this new song that is like the future messianic prophecy of Christ to come. And then he says that we should sing to the Lord and bless his name and tell of his salvation from day to day. I skipped over real quick, sorry. Verse 1, all the earth. He mentions all the earth, which is an encapsulation of the nations, right? It doesn't just mean the Jews. So we see, even in Old Testament, where we think it's just about the Jewish people and the Israelites and them worshiping God, God tells us that it will be for all nations, all people, all tribes, all tongues. They're going to sing a new song in the Lord. But then he says in verse 2, "Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations." Again, this is, we must tell of the salvation that we talked about this morning and proclaim the gospel to people, because we must do it day to day, because the Lord is worthy to be praised. He says, "Declare his glory." And this is a reference to Christ. In John chapter 2, verse 11, we see the very first miracle that Jesus ever performed. And it says, "This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Canaan in Galilee, where he turned water into wine." It says, "And it manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." And so we see that in Psalm 96, it says, "Declare his glory among the nations." And we see Jesus declaring that very, very specifically in the Gospels, that he did this and proclaimed his glory to the nations through his first miracle, and then every miracle subsequent from there, all the way through his resurrection and ascension into heaven. So we see that we can sing because there is news, that the news is good. In verses 4 through 6, we can see that the Lord is worthy to be praised. It says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." So we see that God is worthy to be praised. As we sang multiple songs, I noticed kind of the theme, knowing what I was going to preach, I saw this theme in our songs, that it's about praising the Lord because he is worthy of our praise. But not only that, it says in verse 3, "For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols," right? Because we should fear God Almighty. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about that we should fear God above all other gods, because all other gods are worthless idols? Think about it in these terms. Everything that we have everything that we possess, everything that we could potentially worship was created. But the one we should worship is the Creator. And we see this throughout the scriptures. God is the Creator. Looking back in Genesis, we can see it. God should be feared. Proverbs 1:7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I know oftentimes I hear the word fear. I think of people that are maybe afraid of clowns or spiders or something to that effect, whatever it might be for you. But I don't think that's what it's getting at. I think what it's getting at, and it's simplistic, and my illustrations sometimes break down, but just think of it this way. I can remember when I was a little kid, about 5 or 6, maybe 7 in that age, I would go to my grandparents' house often. When my dad worked, I would go out there and I would spend time with my grandparents. And my grandpa, he never wore a shirt in the summer. I don't think he ever wore a shirt. And he had a big old belly and he was always super tan. But I can remember walking up to him as a little boy and looking up, and there was a sense of fear. Not that I was afraid of him, but he just carried himself in such a way that he just had this weight of you will respect me. You will do what I tell you to do, and you're not going to talk back to me. That is the way I look at when I think about fearing the Lord, is I'm going to obey him, I'm going to follow him, because he is in charge. And that's the kind of fear I think we see here. For all the other gods are worthless idols. Idol worship is something that's rampant throughout the whole of the Bible, all the way through to modern day. We can look at all kinds of things and see idols. We see this in the end of Revelation. I talked about this morning how James was my first Sunday school lesson I ever taught to the youth. Well, Revelation 28:8-9 was my first sermon I ever preached here at Emmanuel. And it says this, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers and the prophets. And with those who keep the words of this book, worship God. We see that John, he sees this magnificent revelation about who God is. And his response is, I'm going to fall down and worship an angel. The created being, right? And all too often, I think we can have that tendency in our lives that we can fall down and we can worship something other than the one we should worship. And that's why we can look and say that God should be praised and he is worthy of our worship. We must just sit in awe of who he is and just contemplate the glory of the Lord. And I think about different texts. I think of like Isaiah chapter 6 where it talks about the glory. He filled the whole temple. His train of his robe filled the whole temple. Why? Because he is God and he is worthy. And I get so excited about seeing that God will be worshiped whether or not you choose to worship him today. He will be praised. He will be worshiped. Just depends on where you worship him from. But not only that, it continues in this idea of singing the good news and praising the Lord for he is worthy. And then it goes into worshiping the Lord for he is worthy in verses 7-9. It says, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness, trembling before him all the earth. So we ascribe to the Lord. We basically are attributing his glory to him. We basically are singing back like the angels do. Glory, 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 hallelujah. We praise the Lord, right? We sing to him because he is our worshiper, right? We attribute that to us. But there's also something in here about offering a worship, or bringing an offering and coming into his courts. This is the Lord, and this is looking to the future when Christ would come on earth, right? And so for those of us that are here today, we can see this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, you yourselves, like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so what does it mean to have spiritual sacrifices? What does it mean to bring an offering into his courts? And I have five really quick things that I want to give you as thoughts I think are ways that we can bring an offering to the Lord. First, I think prayer is a very, very vital way that we can come to the Lord and offer and be sacrificial. Think about how often do you go through your day and you sit down and you're like, you know, I don't know if I really got a chance to pray maybe besides my meals or, and I know that's my life because I have four little children and at times I think there's a lot going on and sometimes I might forget to breathe. And so I think that is, at times we need to focus and be sacrificial and spend more time in prayer. But not only in prayer, because oftentimes when we take up prayer requests on Wednesdays or any other time, we also want to know about praises, right? God wants to hear your praises for him, right? What's going on in your life? How he has moved and worked in your life? And maybe you do the prayer and the praise at the same time, right? And I think we could do it in a way that if you've got a meal that you know you generally take like an hour lunch or a half hour lunch or something, maybe you just cut it in half and you go, I'll eat for 15 minutes and I'm gonna spend 15 minutes in prayer and praise to the Lord, right? That's sacrificing your free time from work to worship the Lord and give him the praise he is due. And then a third thing is that we give to the Lord. We financially give to the ministry of the Lord, right? To allow him to use what he's blessed you with to bless others, right? We bless so we may be blessed. Fourthly, that we would have a broken heart over our sin. This is a sacrifice. This is an offering to the Lord that we recognize that we are sinful and I need to be broken over my sin. Too often I recognize I walk around and I keep my sin and go, well, it's not that bad, right? And I once heard it said this way by Ed Stetzer. He said, sin is not a pet to be tamed, but a beast to be slain. And we need to be broken over our sin. And that is another way that we can offer and worship the Lord is through praying to him to forgive us of our brokenness and our sin over him. The last thing I would give as an example of spiritual sacrifice and offering to the Lord is service to God, right? And I don't want to limit our service just to these walls. I don't want to say that the only way you can serve the Lord is being a greeter or working in children's nursery or doing children's time or doing something within this building. I would say that there are so many opportunities to serve God outside these walls. I know there's numerous people that are sitting here tonight that go to the nursing homes or go to the hospitals and visit people. And I am fairly confident the Lord does not overlook those sacrifices because he knows they need someone to love on them. He knows they need someone to talk with them and spend time with them. That is a form of service. But this is the way we can offer a sacrifice to the Lord is to serve him in whatever means and capacity that you see the Lord gifting you in. All of us have different gifts as we learned this morning. Let us use them for his glory so he can be worshiped. Lastly, in verses 10 through 13, it says, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. So we must rejoice in the coming of the king. Lastly, rejoicing in the coming of the king. But for some, it's not going to be rejoicing because it tells us that he will judge the world. In Acts chapter 17, verse 29 through 31, it says, being that God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. God has fixed the day when there will be judgment. We'll stand before him and we will have to give an account for how we have lived our lives to the Lord. And those that don't know Christ will be judged. And they will be convicted as criminals because they do not know Christ. For those of us that know Jesus, we can rejoice because we know the King is coming. But like I said, for those that don't know Christ, there is no rejoicing. I often think how sad I am to the Lord when I don't proclaim his name to people because I am fearful of what they will say. My dad is on my heart every single day, and I work up the courage all the time to call him up. And then he's busy at work and he tells me, I don't have time right now to talk, but maybe later. It's been 12 years now and we're still waiting on later. Judgment is coming and we must proclaim him to the nations. That may include a family member that's close to us. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in faithfulness. Judgment is coming, but there is good news. Matthew 24:44. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not know or do not expect. This tells us in Matthew that Jesus is coming, which is good news. It is good news because our King is returning. Our King is coming back, and there is going to be no more pain and no more tears and no more suffering for those who know the Lord. So we must sing the good news to all those around us. Sing of the Messiah. For those that wrote this psalm, they wrote it in such a way of looking towards the coming of Christ. For us, he has come, and he will come back. So we must sing the good news throughout the nations. We must praise the Lord with our lives. We must worship the Lord in all that we do, and that will lead us to rejoicing in our King's coming. May we continually look to Christ for our strength and for our guidance and for our direction. For we can do nothing apart from him. Let us worship the Lord in all his glory. Give him praise and honor. Let's do his name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I come before you. I ask, Lord, that we would rejoice in you, and that we would praise you, and that we would proclaim you. Father, give us the wisdom and the insight and the strength to know your word, to proclaim your word. Humble us, Father, when we become prideful. May we just glorify in you every single day, Lord. It's in Christ's name and to his glory we pray. Amen.